Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Dave Buener also in studio with us today. I'm a homeschool father of five. So is Dave, by the way. And ladies and gentlemen, we are constantly updating you on what's going on in the world around us because, hey, we are in the world, hopefully not of it, but we are in the world. So we constantly have to come back to what's going on in the world around us. The fact of the matter is we live in an abomination nation, and I think there are some of us desperately trying to retain some semblance of righteousness during this massive slide into Gomorrah. And friends, this is a challenge for us. I'll tell you what, it's hard enough for the church to remain distinct from society, from the collapse into the abominations that we're seeing around us. But families are having a struggle with this as well. We're having a hard time with Christian families raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, especially if they're sending their kids to the public schools. And here's another shocking story about what's going on with the public schools in America. The Education Department, the Federal Education Department, held their LGBT youth summit sessions for teens. LGBT being lesbian, gay, bisexual, and something else. I'm not sure what it is.
Transgender,
okay. But they're pretty much a list of the favorite abominations of the day. And Kevin Jennings, of course, being the fellow that's leading the attack here with the Federal Education Department. This, by the way, was funded by your tax money, so you need to know what's going on, I guess. In Washington, D.C., this happened on Monday and Tuesday of this week. And it was sponsored by the Department of Education and paid for by tax dollars. Reporters were allowed to attend general sessions, including an address by Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius on Monday and a working lunch on teaching youth how to network with homosexuals. Now, wait a minute. Okay. There was a working lunch on teaching youth how to network with homosexuals in top positions of corporate and nonprofit jobs. Dave, you know, I hit that sentence and I think to myself, a working lunch on teaching youth how to network with homosexuals. You understand what's involved with networking with homosexuals? When teens are networking with homosexuals, Dave, you know, immediately, you know what comes to my mind is NAMBLA. I don't know. Am I wrong here? Teens networking with homosexuals, and you only have to go back to wherever homosexuality expressed itself in pretty distinct ways in history, and you find it in Greece when the networking of homosexual teens and homosexuals was sort of part of what was supposed to be happening in the development of homosexuality in places like Athens and other places throughout Greece many, many years ago. Well, the same thing I think is happening here, Dave. We've got networking between teens and homosexuals, and this is being encouraged by your tax monies in a youth summit sponsored by the U.S. Department of Education.
It's amazing. You can change some names around and make it almost sound sanitized. Networking. I think that means passing out candy, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's pedophiles passing out candy.
It seems to me the NAMBLA folks did a lot of networking.
Well, yeah, again, there's another word that's been sanitized, networking. We used to call it abominations, luring, seducing, other type words. Now they're calling it networking.
Networking.
Yes.
Networking.
I wasn't with a prostitute. I was networking.
It was a working lunch on teaching youth how to network with homosexuals. Scary stuff, friends. This is funded by your tax dollars. This is what's going on in public schools. And by the way, headed by Kevin Jennings, and he's done a lot of work recruiting the teens. According to CNSNews.com, Jennings has a 14-year tenure at GLSEN, that's Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, in which he increased the number of school-based and student-led clubs, such as Gay Straight Alliances, from 50 in 1995 to 4,300 when he stepped down as the head of the organization in 2008. Recruiting teens is obviously the only way in which a society can reproduce homosexuals. You've got to get them in the high school. And Dave, I mean, they understand exactly what they're doing. I mean, this is the only way you destroy a society. This is the only way you can guarantee that you support some form of pansexuality, which, of course, turns into asexuality in another 20, 30 years hence. And in the end, wind up with way, way, way more birth implosions. But Dave, this is how a society implodes. This is how it happens. You create 4,300 student-led gay straight alliances between 1995 and 2008. That's over 13 years. And, of course, way more homosexuals coming out of the high schools today than ever before.
Kevin, this is just one prong of many to destroy a Christian society and destroy the family. Destroying the family is the way to do it. So first, what you do is you want to create no mores, no social mores for things like adultery. You want to make fornication and adultery commonplace, and then you want to bridge the sexes. So you already have broken homes right now where 50% of the marriages are ending in divorce, a statistic we all know. So you have a majority of kids really coming from either a broken home or a home where they're neglected by their fathers. Even in the homes where there's still a father and a mother, few of the fathers are actually involved in raising their children. So they've been successful at taking the father out of the upbringing of the child. The children are basically coming from broken homes. Now, once you've done that, you've created the psychological foundation for homosexuality, which is the lack of a loving father. Now, take those children who have a gripe against their father, put them in clubs and public schools. Of course, the public schools are going to teach this socialist agenda all the way along, teaching you to doubt your parents' authority, to assuage any kind of religious upbringing, and put them together in a club and say, now, let's have some sexual fun. Isn't it great? You know, and they're really, this is an attempt, and I think we have to look at it as the forces of the world trying to destroy the family and any remnant of Christian society.
Dave, you're absolutely right. I mean, I know evangelical families in the Denver metro area who lost their kids to homosexuality. I mean, this kind of thing happens on a regular basis. Friends, hey, you know, this kind of stuff is affecting everybody today, far more than it did 20, 30 years ago. Far more than it did 20, 30 years ago. So if you've got the recipe that Dave outlined here, where you've got a halfway harmed relationship between a daughter and a father, you've got some bitterness there. You've got a father ignoring his daughter. You've got a father perhaps criticizing his daughter, and that relationship is gradually disintegrating. Then send that young daughter to a local high school, a public school high school, and you know, she turns into a lesbian within 3 to 4 years. Hey, there ought not be a lot of shock on your part, parents. That's what's going on right now. That is the recipe for the decline of Western civilization. It's happening one family at a time, and it's happening within the public schools. The public schools are leading the charge, trying to get as much support for the idea of homosexuality as possible, and people like GLSEN are leading the charge in that regard. By the way, also, Gwyneth Paltrow is doing the same thing. She's just asked the question, hey, what's wrong with second graders learning about homosexuality? This is one of the movie stars for the Iron Man movies. I guess she was one of the chief stars there in Iron Man. Anyway, Gwyneth Paltrow is on the charge, excited about the fact that her daughter came home one day talking about two mommies. Apparently, a classmate had two mommies, and her response was, two mommies, how lucky is she? Paltrow went on to question how Arkansas school board member Clint McCants, who apologized for publishing a death wish against homosexuals on Facebook, could base his objection to the homosexual lifestyle on the teachings of the Bible. This concept, while foreign to me, is interesting, as it used to justify so much judgment and separation from society. What does it actually say in the Bible that will cause some people to be upset by my line of thinking? Well, I suppose reading the Bible might help, Gwyneth. You know, cracking the Bible and reading what God has to say. Now, of course, Dave, postmodern man and woman has no real interest in God's laws still in stone. I mean, hey, we can do whatever we want. Incest, hey, you know, if you want to engage in a little bloody pogrom and wipe out a race here and there, so what? I mean, it's just, you do whatever you want to do. And if it's popular today, if homosexuality is the latest and the greatest, we're just going to do that. And if after that, we've got to move on to wiping out a genetic race, so be it. By the way, Dave, remember, I just read this again. Homosexuality was huge, huge in Germany, in Nazi Germany in the 1920s and 1930s. Absolutely huge. Germany, Berlin, was known as the homosexual capital of the world in the 1920s. And no surprise that Nazi Germany took over, what, 10, 15 years later. So, friends, we're just, I think we're developing a postmodern world in which we accept any form of ethical behavior whatsoever and preparing the world for even worse ethical challenges in the years to come.
Well, Kevin, when you talk about Gwyneth Paltrow, you need to smell some serpent breath. What we have here is somebody who's outwardly attractive. No doubt Lucifer was outwardly attractive as he reflected God's glory. Now, sin, in order to be tempting, has to be outwardly attractive. If you're not attracted to it, it's not really a temptation. Just that would be the nature of temptations. Now, Gwyneth apparently has named one of her children Apple. Mm-hmm. And she writes that she did this to show that she is making the choice against religion. That is, in the Garden of Eden, she's confused. It's not an apple. It's a fruit, but it could have been an apple. She's consciously making Eve's choice.
Yeah.
She is saying, I will eat of this and be as God.
Yeah, she's celebrating her rebellion against God, and she names her son Apple as a result of that. Well, pretty sad, friends. This is what happens in the disintegration of the faith and in the family in the present century. Well, in just a moment, we have another story we're going to take a look at coming from, I believe this is the New York Times, boys will be boys, not in these families. These are families that are raising their children in gender confusion. It's happening all over the place, including this country. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about that. Folks, believe it or not, this is our eighth year on the air. Our first broadcast was October 3rd, 2003. From the beginning, we produced the program as a commercial endeavor, and then 2 years ago decided to rely entirely on listener support. And by God's grace, we're making some progress. But this is fundraising month. Each year, we target 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for one more year. And we're hoping that by God's grace, we will be on the air for one more year. If you find the ideas helpful on this program, if you receive some discipleship, some encouragement yourself, please consider supporting our program. We know that we have about 500,000 listeners a year from 80 countries around the world. We have people in Sweden, Ireland, Australia, England, many of whom have no other encouragement for the kind of ideas they get on this program. But they get it here on Generations. They're encouraged every day by what they hear on this radio broadcast from my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. So if you listen to the program or watch us, you know what we're all about. Family, fathers, freedom, faith, home-based discipleship, family-based economies, relationships in a cold and lonely world, worldview and discipleship, truth and relationships, a vision for future generations. That's what we're all about. And we are so privileged to get the very best speakers, pastors, fathers, Christian leaders in the country, talk about worldview and family issues. Folks like Mike Farris, Ken Ham, Vody Bauckham, Al Mohler's been here, Paul David Tripp, R.C. Sproul, Phyllis Schlafly, David Noble, Tim Challies, Nancy Percy, Wayne Grudem, Sam Crabtree, and Dave. Dave Buhner, he's a regular on the program. Well, folks, we don't get a lot of psychobabble flim-flam on this program, because we don't want to raise up more weaky-weaky fruits for generations to come. Our desire is a vision that will cast for future generations and will encourage and inspire many generations and hopefully rebuild faith, family, and freedom during the breakdown of Western civilization. That's what we're doing out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. If you'd like to support the program, just simply go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Support the Program and join our fundraising campaign for May. Our target is 100 sponsors for the month of May. 100 sponsors for the month of May at $10 a month, $20 a month, or $50 a month, or even a one-time donation. Friends, if you would like to support the program, kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host. Also, Dave Buhner, talking about the massive, massive sales campaign that the high schools and the culture is playing upon our children. We're talking about major movie stars. We're talking about public school conferences that are encouraging young teens, high schoolers, to come out of the closet and have expressed themselves and their homosexuality, which, by the way, is a sin against God. We're going to get back to that. We're going to look at the biblical approach to these things in just a moment. But first, Dave, I'd like to air this little piece you found. Apparently, this was something aired recently on television, and it encourages young children, oftentimes young children raised in Christian homes, to come out of the closet and to express their homosexual rebellion. And this is the way it's this is the way they put it. They're talking about bullying. They're talking about teenage suicide.
My school was bad. I was obviously gay.
You don't want to see this.
Some kids didn't like that, and I did get harassed.
You had some
what I'd love you to take away from it.
Pretty perverted looking
now,
men and women
it gets
here.
Better. And it can get great.
It's going to get better. See, it's going
to
get better.
For adults to reach out to kids and share our stories so that they can picture.
They want adults to reach out to kids. Again, why would adult homosexuals want to reach out to kids? Somebody answer that question for me.
Perfect and wonderful, exactly.
Somebody in a police uniform.
Yeah. Men in police uniforms, obviously homosexuals.
Love you without even knowing you.
It gets better.
Yeah. There's art to be made.
Got a million supporters now.
There are songs to be sung.
Apparently there are a lot of people supporting this campaign.
Look at me, 80 years old, it gets better with age.
Listen to me.
It gets better.
It gets better.
It gets better.
It does get better.
Don't say it, Luna!
So much better.
You'll be fine, partner.
That's Woody from Toy Story.
It's Woody from Toy Story, yeah.
But you have to tough this period of it out, and you have to live.
Thanks, Dan. You saved my life. It's fantastic and brave. I have hope.
I have hope. Lots of hope. They're giving people hope here, Dave.
They are. The web is what you make of it, it says.
Yeah. Okay.
YouTube, Google, Chrome.
All right, so there you go. That's a 30-second spot apparently aired on some major news network recently. And what they're doing is they're saying, okay, you've been raised in this really narrow-minded, bigoted Christian home, and we're just telling you it's time to get out of the closet. Don't repent of your sins. Just deny your guilt. It's a whole lot easier if you start denying guilt and just celebrate diversity. Celebrate your own little life. And if you're a homosexual, if you have a problem with fornication, if you have a problem with lying, if you have a problem with this or that, so what? The first step is to not deny the fact you have a problem. And define your own ethics as you go. And if you do that, you'll be free from all of this baggage that you get from your parents and from that Christian heritage that comes down over 1,800 years of church history.
Kevin, this 30-second spot could have been summarized by the words of the serpent, "You shall not surely die."
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
It
you
it
can go
better.
Ahead and be a homosexual.
It gets better.
You're not going to pay any consequences. It gets better. Yeah. Come on. The longer you do the sin, the more at peace you'll be with the sin. The problem is, of course, Kevin, it's a lie. It's a fabricated lie. Homosexuals are not happy. They die younger. They die of diseases. They have more divorces. They have more sexual partners rather than less sexual partners. And unrepentant, unregenerate homosexuals will fry forever in the fires of hell. It doesn't get better. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And when Google and Chrome and Pixar and all these groups buy a spot on Fox television in order to tell families and children, hey, it's okay, you shall not surely die, we should smell sulfur.
Yeah, you got it, Dave. And I tell you what's happening is homosexual adoptions are now going through the ceiling. Now you've got another story here where boys will be boys, not in these families. You have liberal families raising their boys to be girls and your girls to be boys. And gender confusion is just about everywhere these days. So how do we respond to this as Christians? Well, Dave, I think what we've got is a population that has separated itself from the legal requirements of the Word of God. And we've got people who have no idea what the Word of God has to say about anything. And they're asking questions like, is my 4-year-old gay? Okay, that's on a recent parenting website that offers strings of advice concerning gender confusion. As these children enter elementary school, parents negotiate with administrators about clothing. In Jersey City, teachers receive training to support children with gender nonconforming behavior, encourages the individuality of each child. But there are rules. They all have to wear sneakers to school and participate in gym. Little girls can't wear ballet flats either, too slippery. Parents may seek like-minded playgroups and even move to communities where they believe their children will be more accepted. Others turn to couples counseling, family therapy, parent groups. You have little boys that are, putting on nail polish, little boys who are dressed up like girls. And they're doing this at 2, 3, 4 years of age. As children grow older, many parents define behavior that is fine in private but not in public to protect them from bullying. Ellen of Bergen County, New Jersey, has a 9-year-old boy who prefers high heels. She told him they were not school shoes and too expensive to buy to wear around the house. On and on and on and on it goes. Dave, I mean, here are some families that are just utterly lost in this thing. And imagine how it's going to look in the next 20 to 30 years. I mean, this was not happening in the 1970s and 1980s. We are off the cliff. I think we're airborne. We're flying at about 80 miles an hour down towards wherever we're going to land. It's hard to imagine where we're going to land. But it appears that as a society, parents are encouraging homosexuality, encouraging gender confusion. Not to say that these things don't exist. Not to say that little boys and girls haven't had problems with not just sexuality, but issues like lying and discontentment, whining. You ever had a kid who whined about their condition? In this case, you have children who are discontent with their sexuality. Well, they're discontent about a lot of things. They're discontent about the fact that they get spaghetti for lunch. They're discontent about their parents. They don't want to honor their parents. They're discontent with their brothers and sisters. You have kids who grumble and whine, and they grumble about this, they whine about that. They've got to learn contentment with what God has given to them. They need contentment with the way God has created them. And unfortunately, children don't learn that overnight. You have to train them in these things over a long period of time. Dave, not unusual for girls to want to act like boys and boys who want to act like girls and want to refuse the gender that God has given to them and are discontent in that gender.
No, it's not unusual. We have the Old Testament condemning it, so it must have been something that was happening. We certainly have the stories of Sodom where men lied with men, as they should with women. We have Paul condemning in the New Testament. Apparently, it was something that happened in the New Testament world also. We certainly have stories from antiquity of Rome and Greece where sexual connections were gender confused. Women wanting to be as men. Many of the Greek goddesses were very masculine, at least in their feats, but very feminine in their features. So what we've had from the time of the Garden, Kevin, as we're talking before the program, is that the curse that was given to Eve isn't really happy with that curse. The daughters of Eve don't want to live under that curse. So the curse was in part that she would desire her husband's role, mm-hmm. and that her husband would rule over her. So women trying to cast off the burden of that curse no longer want their husbands to rule over them. Yeah. So they'll get rid of their husbands if need be. They'll let the government rule over them or the government be their husbands. But they, in turn, in this country, get to rule over the government by popular vote. But they also try and take their husband's role. And what we end up with, of course, is a lot of houses without husbands. Conversely, men don't like the curse either. Men become lazy. They don't want to work by the sweat of their brow, and they'd rather collect unemployment checks and play video games. And I think that's a pretty good descriptor of modern society.
That's the way they're rejecting the curse. You're right. I mean, women have no more children. The men lost reason and faith. The gods of the copybook heading say the wages of sin is death. I mean, that's exactly what Kipling wrote concerning the decline of the English Empire and, of course, the decline of American Empire as well. The men don't want to work. The men are rejecting their curse. The women are rejecting not just the curse of the men ruling over them, but also the curse of having children. Remember, they're taking birth control pills. They're trying to short-circuit the idea of having children. So in the end, women have no more children. The men are no longer working. And of course, as Rudyard Kipling wrote, if you don't work, you die. So again, Dave, what we have is in the dying of civilizations, you have men and women who reject the curse that God has placed upon them. As it turns out, if they had turned to the redemption of Jesus Christ, they would have found that they wouldn't have been sunk into some of these curses. They would have seen some of these curses somewhat ameliorated, which they are somewhat ameliorated, not entirely, and won't be until the end. We hope for an eternal resurrection, an eternal life with Jesus Christ, but that's not going to happen right now. But what they want is they want that utopia here, and they're going to seek it by getting rid of childbearing, by not conceiving any children, by not letting any man rule over them, and of course, as you say, the corporations and the governments rule over them, and then the men aren't doing anything at all, and in the process, of course, they are embracing death themselves, because the road to escapism is ultimately the road to death. So, Dave, what we're seeing is a civilization die, and I would like to encourage the parents and the families listening to this program to come out from among them and be separate. I mean, I think we could have a few islands of functional families who will survive this hurricane that's taking down all of Western civilization, and I think it's possible that some some could survive, but they're gonna survive if they turn back to the Word of God, and they see the Word that says the woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. They read that from Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, and they say to themselves, hey, maybe I ought to train my children not in the area of gender confusion. Maybe I ought to tell my son, hey, you know, I'm not to wear a woman's clothing. Don't put on the high heels. Don't put on the fingernail polish. You're supposed to be a man, son. That's an abomination to God if you do that. Now, of course, you can do this in a gentle manner and explain to the boy that he's to be raised to be a mighty man of God who will protect his mother and his wife and his children. And he's to be a man who goes out there and takes dominion of God's green earth. And he's to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he's to engage the spiritual warfare, and he's to be trained in this kind of thing for 18 years, instead of this permissive parent that's just going to let him do whatever he wants. If he's given to lying, we'll let him lie. If he's given to putting on a woman's clothing, we'll let him put on a woman's clothing. If he's given to fornication and lust, we'll let him abuse his younger children or his younger brothers and sisters. If he wants to do this, he wants to do that, he can do whatever he wants. And that's, of course, the permissive way of life that a lot of parents are giving to their kids. But Dave, I think it takes training in order to raise our children in a proper way. And we've got to begin with the principles of God's word. If we have no principles and we're going to name our kid Apple, then forget it. We're going to have all kinds of transgender messes in the years to come. We'll have birth implosions. We'll have all kinds of sexual diseases. We'll have huge suicide rates. And of course, among homosexuals, you have the world's largest suicide rates, the world's largest drunkenness rates, the world's largest rates of divorce or what have you, or broken relationships. I mean, some of these guys have 7, 10, 15 relationships in any given year. And you think that's a good environment in which to raise a child? Adoption rates among homosexuals are way up as well. We have a couple of stories recently about that. But remember, homosexual households are some of the least stable. In fact, the least stable. If you compare them to a single mom household, if you compare them to a shack up household, if you compare them to a nuclear family where you've got a mom and dad properly married, etc., and you compare the homosexual household in which these kids are being raised to these other households, you're going to find way, way more lack of stability. You're going to have way, way more drunkenness, way, way more suicide rates. You're going to have all kinds of abuse going on in these homes. I mean, friends, this is what the statistics, these are what the studies are telling us. And there, it will be no surprise to me if we see way, way messed up kids in the year 2020 and the year 2030 because of what's happened. Hey, you just look at how many single parent households there are. It's some 7-8 times what it was in 1970. Friends, we're looking at massive dysfunctionality, massive lack of stability in homes and social systems in the years to come. And unless we establish godly households based upon the principles of God's word, and we're raising our children with hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a preaching of the gospel which is sufficient to overwhelm the sins that we're born with, friends, we're going to be in big, big trouble. The gospel of Jesus Christ, I think, Dave, is sufficient to salvage many families in the years to come if it's preached. And if we preach not just faith, but also repentance, that faith ought to be strong enough to repent. You need faith in order to repent. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sins, we will have the power to repent and walk in God's laws.
And Kevin, I want to go back to the garden for a moment, because there was this moment after Adam and Eve had sinned that their eyes were opened. The Bible tells us their eyes were opened and they realized that they had sinned, and they heard God's presence walking in the garden. And rather than doing what was required, running before a loving God and falling down at his feet and asking for forgiveness, which would have been the best thing possible for Adam and Eve, they hid. Why did they hide? They hide because it said they knew they were ashamed. They tried to hide from God. Now, the modern man is hiding from God. He's suppressing the knowledge of God and his unrighteousness. He's trying to pretend that God isn't there and God is seen everywhere. He's hiding from God. Now, God himself, and this is where the gospel really shows itself from the very first in humanity, God himself creates a covering for Adam's nakedness. That is, God says, Adam, don't hide your sin from me. Let me cover your sin. Let me cover it. And I believe it was probably the skin of a lamb, foreshadowing the Lamb of God, Christ, who is to come. Let me take care of your nakedness for you. Don't hide from me. Let's restore this relationship. And this is why, Kevin, the power of the gospel The power of the Word of God is the only thing that's going to overcome these sins of sexuality, homosexuality, adultery, whatever it is. It's got to be the power of the Lamb of God. And that is why I believe that homosexuals, in some ways, actually know this. There's a group that's trying to get the Southern Baptist Convention to apologize because they have these ex-gay ministries. I mean, these ministries that help people repent and become straight. How dare you help somebody become straight? You know, it gets better the gayer you are or whatever. The blood of Christ overcomes. Now, you don't expect Satan to stand around and let people put on the blood of Christ. Now, granted, Satan is bound by God's power, but it will be that Satan's head's going to get crushed, but he's not going down without kicking and screaming.
Well, these people don't want to admit their shame. I mean, they've gone way, way out on that plank, and they want to believe that homosexuality is a wonderful lifestyle and God is pleased with it, et cetera, instead of the abomination that brought down God's judgment upon nations in the Old Testament. And God holds us to tighter accounts in the New Testament. He commands all nations everywhere to repent, according to Paul on Mars Hill. So they don't want to really meet and really face the horrific, horrific nature of their sins. And yet we're seeing these sins continue to break down our systems. In fact, the AFA just published an editorial about what's going on with these gay couples adopting children. And here's what this guy says. This is a social disaster, a social tragedy of the first order, and is something no society that cares for its youngest and most vulnerable citizens would ever do. Every homosexual adoption places a child in a home with a missing mother or father. No society that loves children and places their welfare ahead of the desires of narcissistic adults would ever do this. Harsh words here, but Dave, I think appropriate words, because I tell you what, these guys are taking us over the cliff. Kevin Jennings and all of his perverted people from GLSEN and the American Department of Education, the National Department of Education, and of course all these homosexual groups that are attacking the American Family Association, attacking the Southern Baptist organizations. Friends, I tell you what, these guys are doing their best to ruin our civilization. Let me tell you something here. 40 years from now, these homosexuals won't exist. You understand? The civilization is dying. 30, 40, 50 years from now, these families won't exist. With all the birth implosions, they won't exist. With all the suicides that come out of this generation, with all of the people that die of AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases, with all of the families that are raising kids out of wedlock, when you get all of this put together, and the problem is seven times worse than it was 40 years ago, friends, 40, 50, 60 years from now, this civilization will not exist if the family is the basic building block of human society. And I'm still holding on to that fact because I believe that what God laid down in Genesis 2 still applies. And every society, all the way back to Roman Greece, has substantiated what we're saying on this program. You can bet your civilization, you can bet your entire society on the fact that the family is useless. And who needs a mother and a father in a nuclear family? And the nuclear family now makes up less than half American households, and married couples now 48% of American households. Okay, you can bet the whole civilization on that. You can bet the ranch. I mean, entire continents, entire nations in Asia, Africa, America, Europe. You can bet the entire globe on this one. Friends, I am here to tell you, by the year 2050, 2060, these little boys sitting here in the basement of my house out in the western plains of Colorado are going to be vindicated. Whatever we're saying here, as we live on the very edge of civilization, as Western civilization dies, friends, whatever we're saying right here on this radio program will be vindicated in the year 2050 or the year 2060. There will be some family salvaged, because they rooted their perspectives in the Word of God, and they built their families on the Word of God, and they built their families based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. That indeed washes us from our sins and gives us hope for the future. In fact, hope for eternity. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.